welcome to the Rustic World Gaming Podcast, episode 164. I'm your host and GM Alex, and with me today I have...
Ben Meredith.
Bryn Monroe.
Lydia Nicholas.
And Helen Gould.
And who are you playing?
Zolf Smith.
Ahamitala Harun Altahan.
Sel Sidebottom.
And Azu.
And how y'all doing? Is everyone okay?
Yeah.
We actually had a sit down and a drink, so that was nice.
Yeah, did
I hate
a little
it.
Relaxation.
I hate it.
Downtime. Downtime.
Endless downtime.
And now there will be only uptime.
No. Well, we are in the sky, so I hope the uptime is continuing till we're at Svalbard.
Yeah, what standard did we build the ship to? Is it 95% uptime, 99% uptime?
Well, that is what we find out today. So,
hooray.
I am, unless people want not to, going to jump ahead a little bit beyond, like, was the conversation kind of wrapped? It was from my end, but I want to check in with people.
I don't think we remember it well enough to say.
Then let's say it petered off into an awkward silence unless someone actively stops me.
No, we've probably had a pleasant remaining conversation and we've all bonded a little bit, I reckon.
I like to think that we had a nice darts competition
and
everyone had a nice fun time.
Helen, can you roll me a d20 on everyone's behalf so it falls on your shoulders if it goes badly?
Yeah.
Thanks.
5.
it does eventually peter out into silence. But not a hostile silence.
Hooray!
Just an awkward silence.
That is a big improvement.
Just the silence of people who aren't enjoying each other's company.
Oh, damn, Alex. I don't know. I think some of us are enjoying each other's company.
Yeah, but the problem is that it's not everyone. That's what makes it taper off. I suspect there's a lot of that. And do you remember that time in Rome when blah, blah, and at least half of the people there are like, no, I don't remember that.
Sel and Zolf were having their own awkward conversation,
and
that, I think, lapsed into comfortable silence.
Yeah, we're doing our own thing.
Yeah.
Can't take that away from us.
So, we are going to be picking up, I would say, probably midday the next day, okay? So, we are still well on our way. We are definitely out past Japan mainland at this point, out past the ocean, and probably actually back onto the continent, effectively, I think.
Yeah, because we're several days into the flight at this point, aren't we?
Yeah, you're definitely going to be over land masses at this point, mostly mountains.
Because the conversation at the end of the previous episode was on the evening of what, day 4?
Yeah, about that. So yeah, you're going to be getting over mountains at this point and unpopulated regions.
Yeah, I forgot we're going to the Wild Magic Behemoth place.
Woo!
Oh no, those are really
good. I haven't been to these places and I haven't even listened to that side quest, so I'm excited to encounter. I've heard tell of giant bums.
There's no such thing as giant bums.
definitely bum holes.
Yeah. We definitely found a giant anus.
Wait, there's the hole,
Alex made
but
very
not
sure.
The buttocks.
Yeah.
That's terrifying.
I was extremely disappointed that you didn't find a specific cave and then try to light a torch in order to see deeper inside.
Oh, you're a monster. An actual monster.
No, you're a child.
Absolutely terrible.
That's what happens when I'm doing stuff off the cuff.
Children are monsters, in my experience.
Yeah, that's fair.
So, we are at midday the following day. And you're all going about your normal duties. As I said, your hardcore triple shifts has now kind of been finished with because you're all up to a basic, broadly acceptable level of competency, I guess. And as a result, I am going to ask, you are now in what can best be described as normality until stuff happens. You all discuss the kind of things that you wanted to be doing during this trip. I'm going to openly state, from now is your first opportunity. So if anyone has anything they actively want to pursue that is not externally prompted, let's leave it at that, now is a time to let me know.
Well, if it's midday and we're doing our tasks, then Azu's on lookout. So she's just going to be up there having a little sunbathe.
Okay.
but also sunbathing.
So might climb up and ask how you're doing.
Yay!
I say that in a query voice, in that Sel would look up and sort of be like, I mean, does Azu look? They're not quite. Okay, you know, Azu's not sleeping. I could climb up, but, you know, I don't want to wake her up. But, you know, I do have some very exciting mechanical news about the engine, which you would probably love. I mean, who wouldn't? So, let's see. Hey, Azu!
Hello.
Mind if I join?
Yes. Azu attempts to make space. Is there an equivalent of a crow's nest, or am I just. Like, what am I...
There is an equivalent to a crow's nest. However, for two of you to be in there, it's going to be cramped, but not untenable.
Okay. Azu attempts to make more space.
It's spiky on the outside, as is all the rest of the ship.
Easier to climb on.
Yeah. If you're going to spend significant amounts of time up here, and, you know, like, I could work on making it a little more comfortable. There's a few different things we could do to kind of expand. I wonder if I could make it into kind of an expandable bed type option, like the whole crow's nest.
I won't be sleeping up here. I'm paying lots of attention on the clouds.
I see. There's a conflict of interest between sort of sunbathing and watching.
Do you want to look at the clouds? That one looks like a rabbit.
Oh, yeah, that's a lovely game.
Everyone give me a perception check.
Everyone not just the cloud
everyone,
watchers.
Looks like a dragon.
No, you know what? I'm gonna reward some cloud watching. Just the cloud watchers.
25.
24.
Sell.
Oh, dear.
You notice that Sigif is quietly sidling away from his normal duties to do with monitoring the rigging and is nipping off down to what is like the hold / quarters and so on at below decks.
I'm trying to have a nice conversation. I think Sel is not going to act on that information because they are here to ask Azu how they're doing.
That is an acceptable
Sel choice. Doesn't understand enough about how ships work to question an experienced ship. Right.
If this was a choose-your-own-adventure story, you would turn to page 67. It'd be something like, "And as the flames claim all of your compatriots, you wonder." No, you're fine. Yeah. It's all good.
I just wondered how you are in general. I appreciate what I saw what you were doing with the competition, and I thought that was. I wanted to apologize for not joining in. I was not in a good space, but you know, I hope you had fun.
I did. Thank you. I'm feeling a bit homesick, actually. Seeing, because it's sunny and high up, and
is that what your home's like?
Yeah. Well, yes, yeah, sunny and high up. I used to work on a farm, so I would be in the sun all the time, and there were lots of, you know, people who, you know, I cared about and who cared about me, and it was, you know, safe and nothing, you know, went on fire or was trying to kill me.
It's weird how that kind of becomes strange, right? Like, you do this kind of work and you forget. Like, I get it. It's why I was so reluctant to leave the village. Like, when you find that, you gotta hold on, you know?
Yes. I mean, technically, it's not... I've not been away for very long. Like, in my time, in real time, it's been, you know, nearly 2 years. But in my time, it's only been a few months. But it does feel like 2 years, which is strange, don't you think? Yes. I mean, you've been away from your home for a long time. How do you cope with, you know...
I mean, I've been away from... Well... I mean, it depends what a home is, right? You make homes. I had a childhood home that, yeah, it's been a long time. It's been a lot longer since... I've been away from that a lot longer than I was actually there, if you understand what I mean. Yeah. I was about 25, 30, maybe. It's so long ago. I was young anyway, and I've lived in a lot of places since. Some of them have felt like home and some of them didn't and some I still miss. I think it's the feeling of home you end up missing.
Mm.
Not the specific place, but...
And it's the people, you know. Sometimes I feel like if I had the right people around, I would feel at home again.
Speaking of people, everyone give me a perception check.
Oh, gold. Everyone this time.
29.
Hey! A natural 20. Ooh. Give me a total of 30.
16.
23.
Okay. Carry on for now. I'll deal with that later.
Oh, no. Oh,
the smoke is really rising, isn't it? It's strange how long you can miss people, you know? It can be so long. I try to tell myself that they still live with you, you know, in your heart. But the thing is, that's not the same as being able to share a joke.
Yes, I know what you mean. I don't know. I've lost people before, but it was all, you know, natural causes or accidents. I've never had people taken away, if you Yeah.
No, I... this is where things are going to get into an awkward silence, however. Like, I mean, it's a comfortable silence, maybe, a sharing of souls, but not something that makes good audio.
That's okay.
Thank God that we've got Soundscape, so let's leave this in real time for the next 15. Oh, I love these episodes, they're so easy to do. No.
As I was going to say, can I have a hug?
Oh, absolutely! It's a deep hug. Yeah. Like, how? They've got such long arms.
That is why. There's no one that's been tall enough for Azu to have, like, a big hug.
Oh, no, it's a proper engulfing hug. Especially with the fluffy gear on, you kind of might forget even how gangly Cell is. So, like, it almost might feel like you've got a proper big bulky orc, like, you know, an old friend or family.
I suspect that Cell at the moment is kind of like a teddy bear with, like, a, you know, like a steel frame to keep it in shape and the inside.
Yeah.
Deep inside there's a wire frame, but it's mostly fluffed out into a ball.
It's fluff!
Yay.
Zolf.
Hello.
Obviously, you are aware, as you're on deck, because it's your job, that Cell and Azu are up there and they're doing their thing, and things are ticking along quite nicely. However, you do notice at some point that after, say, 15 minutes or so, your suspicions are confirmed that all of the crew members who joined the ship, who are not kobolds, are now not on deck doing their duties. I will give you the addition, though, that their duties were make sure this does not go wrong. It probably won't, but do it anyway. Not anything that's, like, unattended, the ship's going to explode.
Mm-hmm. Am I doing anything that, if left unattended, the ship's going
to
explode?
Mostly making sure that other people don't leave things unattended so that the ship doesn't explode.
Cool, I'm going to go do my job.
Good. Would you care to be specific about which manner of your job you're doing?
I'm going to look for where all of the crew have gone, because they should be attending things and doing their job.
Can you give me a perception check, please?
Perception? I already gave you a bloody critical success. What do you want from me?
More successes.
There is a difference between spotting there's a problem and finding where the problem is. Oh no, there's a leak is not the same as I found the leak.
Yeah, you think they might be bundled up there with a critical, but 20.
So... you head below decks, digging your way...
I lied. Sorry, I miss... it's a 19.
Oh, sorry, you head below decks and fall out the bottom of the ship.
That's a DC.
DC. I'm messing with you.
That's important.
So you head below decks, no one's in their quarters or anything, and you start digging your way through the cargo hold. Mm-hmm. The cargo hold feels more full than you remember. Everything's properly stowed. Everything is where it should be, but...
yeah, okay.
Your internal checklist for what kind of inventory you have... It's stowed in a way that makes it feel like there's more here than there should be.
Oh, where's the secret room that has been hollowed out? I wonder.
Yeah, I'm going to have a look around because this is obviously suspicious.
You find a poorly concealed cubby has been arranged in the very, very bottom back of the cargo hold where it's like someone has clearly arranged crates in such a way to make an empty space in the middle and you hear muffled conversation going inside.
Mm-hmm. Can I hear through the...
yes.
The wall, as
yeah.
it were? Then I will listen.
You hear something along the lines of... and then on the other side, you hear the voice that you recognise as Friedrich is like... true, but there's not much you can really do about that. Is that... look, I'm telling you that what it is what it is. And then you hear Kiko in there as well, just very sort of calmly like, are you going to be doing this long? I don't have all day. Listen, I'm telling him that it's okay. It's just we're going to have to wait it out. I don't want
to... okay, I feel like at that point, I'm going to go in because I'm magic, so what the hell are they going to do?
I've got loads of hit points.
I've got loads of horrible spells. So, yeah, I'll walk in.
Bite, walk. For you can walk in.
Well, sorry, yeah.
Anyone else is going to stoop. But, yeah, you poke your head in and you find a surprisingly little plush poker den has been set up. There's a barrel in the middle with, like, a... you know, like, one of those drums where it's, like, has the thick wheels at each side for, like, cable and so on.
I just need you to know very quickly that it took me so long to parse that you meant poker as in the game rather than the place that Pokemon live.
Poker den.
I thought you were going to say something to do with Pokemon.
A poker den.
Yeah, exactly.
You hear a faint tune on the breeze. Do, 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 do. Everyone comes out and they're just really happy and healthy.
Yeah, there's just a Charmander going, yay!
20th of the day.
I'm going to become a gym leader.
So the three of them are playing a game of poker, and it appears that Sigif is losing heavily. They've got a pile of furs in there. It's pretty comfy looking. And there is what's clearly a jar of hooch in the middle of the table as well. And they're all just having a game of poker. And they don't notice that you're there.
So this didn't take long, did it?
Sigif stands, hits his head, and then sits back down because it's not that tall.
Yeah.
Friedrich uses his enormous arm to sweep everything off the table in a single go, making a cascade of mess. And Kiko just kind of looks at you very calm and unconcerned about the whole thing. Sorry, sir. We were just, you know, getting to know one another and making sure that everything was that everyone was happy. Morale, lots of morale has been raised, and Kiko just sort of continues looking at her cards, which she did not like get swept out of her hands. You could just join us.
I don't think I will. So what are you going to have to bide your time about, by the way?
Sigif just looks kind of confused. Well, you know, I might have to, you know, buy my way back in when I, so I'm going to have to pick up some shifts or something, because someone's cheating. I'm not cheating. It's called maths. If you got better at it, you'd be better at the game.
So you're not thinking about doing anything that maybe you shouldn't do?
Kiko just kind of looks at you with a wry, calculating look. What kind of thing do you think we might be doing that we're not supposed to be doing? Is there something we should know?
What kind of thing do sailors usually do that they shouldn't do on a boat?
Drinking. maybe working too hard. Kiko just kind of closes her eyes in a kind of way and just waits for the hypothetical question to answer itself.
So you're considering a mutiny at some point?
What?
Sigif looks just confused. Friedrich is shocked, and Kiko is amused. Okay.
So you can't just ask people about a mutiny.
I'm going to invite them to my mutiny.
Why? Is there a mutiny on the cards that we should know about?
Don't know about mutiny, you know what I mean? It's kind of not a great idea, you know. I mean, you know.
All I'm trying to do is find out why you are in this secret poker den talking about biding your time, because I am not really convinced by the whole buying your way back in. And also, you can't get extra shifts. We do the number of shifts we're needed. And also, you got paid up front. It's a fixed fee. You can't work harder to make more money. We're not in a factory. I paid you that money. Well, half of it.
Could I see you outside, sir? It's a bit of a delicate matter, and Sigif's like, no, I don't think you're not really sure about that. I mean, you know, we could just carry on as we are. It's not really any... I do really think that we should probably let him know, Sigif.
Then why don't you just have a conversation with me here in front of the others?
Very well. Sigif, would you care to...
just wondering if,
In your own time, Sigif.
Well, you know, I'm just wondering if these others were... No.
Can't use words?
Kiko is still looking at her cards and clearly getting a little bit annoyed that everything's been interrupted and is quietly trying to pick up her chips as the talking goes on. And from underneath the in inverted cards tables, he fancies the orc and wants to know if she's available. Kiko just sits back going, I don't...
Just to be clear, Sigif's the smelly one,
Sigif,
right?
Sigif is, quote, sweaty tobacco-chewing human. Open brackets, older, close brackets.
Oh my God, Alex! Why are you such a monster?
Zulf, you pick your words carefully.
You all said you wanted things to get interesting and, like, open dialogue options.
We said we wanted the possibility of romance, and one of the fingers on Alex's monkey's paw, which he has for a hand.
No, but this is amazing. This is amazing. Think... Go.
Yeah, I think Zulf will burst out laughing at that point.
Sigif looks like, told you a stupid thing.
To be fair, with a bit of nuance, more in a relieved way, not a this is a stupid idea.
Sigif doesn't really register it. Kiko gets exactly what you're getting at. Friedrich is mostly concerned that you're going to keel haul a bunch of people from a flying ship or something.
Yeah.
Little do they know.
Right. Okay. Fine. Good. All right. Well, bide your time. Don't bide your time. Fine. You deal with that. I can't exactly provide any advice on that myself. But why don't we keep the secret poker while you're actually supposed to be doing your jobs to a minimum? Because you do realise we're basically flying on a bomb. That if you
true facts with Zol.
My bedside manner for first mating is as good as mine for doctoring. And if we don't keep looking after the bomb will explode. And that you've all been on ships before. And if you don't do your seemingly innocuous jobs, something small will be missed, and that'll turn into something big, and then we all blow up.
Friedrich immediately stands and starts trying to, like, shuffle out. He's a little bit lumbering, but... Oh, no, yes, of course, sir. He just starts to leave.
I will grab him by the collar, say, no, I'm not having bluster in here, all right? Look, you can have recreation time, right? That's fine. Just don't do it on shift. And I don't know why you have to do it under here unless you're worried that we're all going to just take all your money away from you. I mean, Friedrich, what, have you got a racket set up here? Have you found two people that you think you can take money from? You don't want to play the rest of us?
Sigif just mutters up. He's got really big hands.
Too many cards, or are you just remarking on the size of his
hands? At which point
hands?
Sigif looks very sidelong at Friedrich, who's like, I am not cheating. It's maths. It's basic numeracy, Sigif. If you just counted the numbers on the cards, you would do better. Stop looking for pairs.
I mean, maybe we could have a snap tournament.
Kiko just kind of puts everything down. It's clear that she's kind of done on the whole this isn't going to happen playing cards thing. So about that mutiny then, just circling back round slightly, is this something we should know about, or should we be concerned, sir?
Captain Earhart is going through some difficult times and has been... Which is... Oh, okay, I'm having to ignore Liz's reactions.
Big, silent reactions, like a champ.
Captain Earhart has been going through some difficult times, as I'm sure you're aware, and there have been some complaints, so I want to make sure that those complaints aren't shared by people. Because if certain elements go off and we have a big fight up here, that could be incredibly dangerous for all of us. So I want to make sure that we land in Svalbard safely, and that nobody endangers our lives unnecessarily.
Oh, well, of course, sir. I mean, it'd be nice to return home. And I'd never dream of anything. Oh, I don't think... I mean, Sigif, have you ever considered a mutiny? I don't think you've ever considered a mutiny. You know, now and then.
Friedrich, shut up and stop talking for other people. I get why, looking at Sigif, but stop talking for other people. Well, Sigif, are you considering a mutiny right now? I understand. I've considered mutinies in the past. We've all been in that position.
Who amongst us hasn't considered?
Might mutiny against Friedrich with his massive hands. It's not cheating, Sigif! It's just maths!
Kiko's just wary. I wouldn't worry.
Okay, then I won't. Good. Right.
She openly, and this is not Alex being a prick, this is a Kiko thing, mimics your tone. Okay, good. I'm glad.
Right. Fine. Anyway, get back to your jobs. So again, this bomb don't explode and we make sure it don't. And then if we want to have a poker night or some kind of club, let's do that. Hey, Sigif, maybe if you play poker with Azu, you can get to know her a bit better.
Oh, she like poker.
Especially considering you didn't use her name.
She like poker.
I don't know. Why don't you talk to her
and
ask?
Azu.
Maybe find out about her interests.
What are
and again,
her interests?
Her name. talk to
she
her
talking.
About that.
Right.
He's a teenager.
Are you taking notes?
Yes, he is. they're spelt wrong.
Aww.
Right. Well, get out.
Okay, I'm gonna end that scene there.
Yeah.
I've had a bit of Zolf time. I've had a bit of Azu and Sel time. Hamid, I will let you know now before you ask. The kobolds are ticking along, happy as Larry. No major concerns or problems. And Earhart's been in her cabin all day, as she is wont to do.
I'd like to seek out Wild.
Yeah. Okay. Wild is set up at the sort of in the depths of the forward bow, so like right down at the bottom, but at the very, very, very front of the ship, which is actually a really comfortable place to be in this ship because it doesn't bounce up and down. He has a little, you know, from experience from the last time you're on this ship, that it was a guest cabin of sorts. It's cramped, but he has set up shop in there to a degree, in a sort of semi bunk bed, semi desk setup, and he's sort of holed up in there.
Hello, Oscar.
Hello, Hamid.
Problems? Nothing wrong, Oscar. I guess you're used to people only coming to you to talk about issues they're having.
Goes with the job.
Well, that's what I wanted to. Look, Oscar, I know we were never close, and we would back before everything happened.
Hamid, I'm gonna head you off here. I'm gonna head you off here. I'm fine. You need to stop asking.
I don't believe you, Oscar. We always cared about you, even if we had strange ways of showing it. And, well, when Grizzop got to Rome, he told us about some of the things that happened to the two of you while he was still in Damascus. And, well, when we were in Hiroshima, I noticed two loops of metal around your ankles.
Yes.
Are they the same anti-magic cuffs that you had in Damascus?
That's correct, yes. It's a surprisingly hard thing to come by, and we ended up having to use most of the stuff we came across on the cell in Japan, so
yeah.
It just seemed easiest to leave them on.
You never were able to track down the source or find out what else was happening there?
It's one of the greatest ironies of my life that I managed to somehow still end up with a ball and chain. Huh. No, as it
stands...
Yeah.
I mean, that's heartbreaking for Bryn, but obviously Hamid doesn't have context.
That has, like, a million meanings.
Oh, my gosh. That's, like, that's all the...
Good line, Alex.
That's very wild.
Thank
that's,
you.
That's good. Yeah. It's very good.
So,
but you're also bad. You are bad.
I am bad. I'm terrible. Yes, I. It's just been necessary. We never did make any luck. It's all been very interesting, really. The Cult of Hades have been very absent.
Well, the fact they existed at all means they've been working in the shadows a long time, potentially.
It when you all headed off to Rome and were removed from the picture, it felt like a... I know you've never played the Great Game, but it... After a while, you start to recognise opening moves.
The Great Game?
Oh, you know, the Great Game.
Espionage and counter-espionage.
Basically. I mean, yes. You start to recognise opening moves when they come up, and that it felt like an opening move that never had a follow-up. I don't know.
Oscar, I don't know how long you spent your life with magic, but I know if you're anything like I am, it means something to you to lose it for 18 months and with no end in sight. That's got to have an effect on a person. It's okay to not be okay, Oscar.
Can you give me a diplomacy roll, please?
I can.
Let Oscar be okay.
Gonna accidentally seduce him.
32.
Accidentally?
Seduce his ass.
Press on a little further, knowing that you're doing well.
I suppose in some ways you're still our boss, but hierarchies don't mean as much as they used to. You're friends as well, and I know... I can't imagine how hard it's been. I don't know the details, but obviously I know something happened, a betrayal of some kind, and Zolf told us that when people are in quarantine, you cut yourself off, but that must be such a hard way to live and to lack something that I'm sure has come to be a big part of yourself during that time as well. I'm not saying I understand, but I'd like to try to, and I'd like to help. Maybe you've had other people look into it already, but...
Wild starts to absent-mindedly rub the scar on his face.
We're stuck here together for the time being, Oscar. I mean, we all know that every time any of us step off this ship, any point in future, we're risking losing each other again. But while we're here, let some of your friends carry this burden you've been keeping with you for so long. Don't close yourself off to everything.
Fair enough. He kind of sits back. You always like to dig, Hamid. It's arguably the best and worst quality that you have.
I've been told that before, Oscar, but I like to think of it as I like to help.
Takes a deep breath. And then I take a break because I can, because it's a thing I can do.
Who gave him that scar?
And who gave Alex that power?
Back in a couple of minutes.
Arguably, we all did.
And welcome back. Wild takes another deep breath. Like, that's two deep breaths in a row, so that's like full lung capacity. So it's a big sigh when it comes out. There's no winning this, Hamid. You know that, right?
This conversation... Conversations are only about
all
half the time about winning, Oscar. At least in my experience with you.
Oh, well, of course that's the case. Although I think half's quite an ambitious figure there, Hamid. I'd put it closer at a quarter for you, but...
Hamid chuckles as well.
You know what I mean. Anyone with any sense can see that the... Pardon the pun, the ship sailed.
The world has changed beyond recognition. It's even more starkly obvious when you skip from the beginning of that to the end of that.
All we're doing is we're buying time in the hopes that someone makes some kind of big win. I'm not aware of any big wins, and I don't see an out here. Don't tell the others, obviously, but... At some point, you recognise that something can be an exercise in futility, but it's still something.
You saying you've lost hope?
Yes, all right, goodness me. Yes, maybe I should, you know, go out and spend some time in a meadow, really get to grips with myself and, you know, that kind of thing, yes?
That's not what I meant. Oscar, the world we live in, the meritocrats have... for nearly 2,000 years have stopped bad things happening to people.
The meritocrats are dead, dying, or hiding.
Their lands. But that's my point. We, as people, have never had to face something of this level.
Do you think the Harlequins are doing? Honestly, what do you actually think the Harlequins are doing?
You mean in the current situation?
Hmm.
This is a war. And it's a...
The Harlequins aren't on the front lines, Hamid.
No.
That's the clerics and the paladins and the armed forces and that kind of thing. What do you think the Harlequins are doing?
If I had to guess, and bear in mind, it is a guess because I haven't been here to see it and I've seen so little of the world since we came back. Picking up the pieces, filling in for the organisation that the meritocrats failed to provide in the time of crisis.
They're keeping things going so that they can salvage what can be salvaged.
Yeah, Oscar...
You don't salvage a ship that can be saved. You see what I'm saying, Hamid?
Yes. But there are still people alive in this world, Oscar. This isn't about getting back what's lost. It's about defending what's still here.
While you are gone, the goal shifted from how do we win to how do we not lose so fast. What we're doing here is not a Harlequin-sanctioned activity, it's a Harlequin-tolerated one. I'm a kook, Hamid. I'm a joke. I'm the one who's still chasing dead leads in dead cities with, admittedly until recently, dead compatriots.
Oscar, we just got a letter from a friend who died 1800 years ago. Nothing is impossible. I was a kid, lost with direction, wandering through the streets of London. I bumped into a friend from university. I was in the right place in the right time in Prague, and with two other friends. I didn't do much, but Kafka was stopped. Look at the people that stopped Kafka. A street kid from other London. A goblin paladin of Artemis. The least appropriate hero you've ever met.
I don't know. Think about what circles Wild moves in.
And me. Sometimes the unexpected happens.
Wild turns his back on you. This isn't interrupting you. Turns his back on you. Opens the shutter so that he can see out from the bow. It's not huge, just like a little porthole thing, but it has a little shutter. And you have a flash of your father the last time you saw him. He has the same arm on the mantle, the same look out to the horizon.
Big dad energy.
Hammond shudders.
Aww.
Like, but it's eerie. It is an eerie replica of the exact stance the last time you saw him in his office.
When, once before, as far as we know in history, the world was almost covered in darkness. We don't know the details. But Rome wasn't a city. Rome was an empire. It covered Europe, North Africa, a bunch of Asia. You know, it wasn't the whole world, but it was a significant enough portion. And, I mean, history says that the meritocrats burned Rome. But we know from Sasha's letter that she made it out. And just because Rome burned, it didn't mean the empire fell over instantly. That I never studied history in detail, but the struggles against the remnants of that empire, we're not getting back what we've lost, but there is still a world to save, Oscar. And if we can find the center of this thing, and there is a center, if we can burn that down, then this does become a fight we can win. And you don't need a giant army to do that. You don't need six giant dragons. We've got a team here, and they're good people. Every single one of them is a good person. Every single one of them brings a lot to our goals. You're not doing this alone. You're doing this with us.
I never said I'm doing it alone. I work best in a pair. Or three or more, you know, whatever opportunity presents itself. You work with what you've got.
Hamid gives a wry smile. You know, I really thought I was coming down here to ask you about the cuffs and being without magic. Sorry, I seem to have got off track a bit.
Oh, let me summarise for you. You get used to it after a while. Foundation has come on leaps and bounds in the last couple of years. You really should look back into it. And, you know, when in doubt, make him laugh. Woo. He does a little pathetic jazz hand.
Hammer just smiles. You know, this kind of remote magical action does require an arcane link.
Go on.
An arcane link depends on its connection to the person it was taken from.
Go on.
People change. How much have you changed, Oscar?
Now, I need you to know, Hamid. You know, I care about you, and I... Please don't repeat to the others. You are adorable when you're trying to be profound.
Hamid raises a single eyebrow emphatically.
But as wonderful as personal growth is, I'm not entirely sure it's going to overcome the weave.
Oh. I think it's a deeper connection than that.
What do you want from me, Hamid? I don't have an answer. Yes? Tell you what, if you find a guy walking around with a locket full of my leg hair, do me a favour and take the locket and that'll probably solve my problem. That's basically where I'm at. Short of that, there's not really an entirely huge amount I can do.
Fair enough. Well, Oscar, As always, it was genuinely a pleasure to talk to you. I'll be back.
He opens the door. Maybe 4 out of 10 conversations, but that's as high as I'm going, and then he closes the door.
That's a win. That's a win.
Give me a perception check.
19.
You hear the sound of what you think is Wild slumping onto a bed.
He cracked a bunch of jokes in that conversation. I'm considering that a big win, given how few he's cracked recently.
At some point during your Save the World speech, I did start playing the Avengers theme tune in my head.
Listen, I can give nods and things, but I can't lift entire lines of dialogue. Don't do that. Don't give me hope.
I was going to say,
what are you doing in Japan? The list goes on. I can't. Well,
not Avengers, but our mission is literally to cancel the apocalypse.
Speaking of which, Cell activates the giant transform the ship into a big mecha button, okay, which we haven't really addressed.
I would take that genre hop.
Yeah, I'd wondering when you'd ask. Like, I literally built a character to do that. So.
Ironically, I control the legs.
Why do you... Oh, Bryn's gone. I give you pure gold, but no, a quick crack about Zolf's legs, that's right through Bryn's defences.
That's cool, Hamid will control the wings.
Nice. So, does anyone have an issue with me jumping time ahead to, I'm going to say, the next day's evening?
Sure.
Time to, well, I'm assuming it's time to chillax.
The silences are growing less awkward and more comfortable. Darts has very much become the case du jour.
Azu has set up a leadership board.
However, there was a minor fracas early in the evening because Sigif accused Friedrich of bribing one of the kobolds to deliberately bump the ship when he was throwing his darts.
Oh dear.
As it stands, the game is ongoing, and Azu, you find yourself sat next to Sigif.
Okay. Sat next to the old man. Okay.
Can you give me a sense motive?
Okay, I mean, technically I should be good at this, but you know, I never succeed when I need to. Where is it down there?
That's the principle upon which this entire podcast is built, Helen.
Okay. Oh, that's not bad. That's 28.
Sigif is sitting very close for someone who just wants to be friends.
Hello.
He offers you some of his chewing tobacco. Well, you know, if you want some of it, it's quite good if you...
I've never tried it, actually.
It's
to
a
be
blender,
polite,
you know.
She does take some. So do you just put it in your mouth, or...?
Well, you sort of chew, you know, and then when you're done on one side, you know, you move it to the other, and there.
How do you know when it's done?
Oh, because you know, he just hocks up over the side of the ship, you know, because you want to spit, and then you go again. With the chewing.
Oh!
This is going to require a content warning for
yep.
phlegm.
Yep.
Okay. Azu starts chewing tobacco.
Azu gets a nicotine addiction, and that's what she's wrestling with for the rest of the podcast.
She makes a face, because I'm assuming tobacco tastes horrible.
Well, it's a flavoured tobacco.
Is it bubble gum?
So yeah, that means Sigif is like the blowing fat clouds, but for this specific universe.
Little bit.
He's a vapor.
Yeah.
You can make out paprika in there, cinnamon. Those two flavors don't go together.
No.
And a third one that you can't quite place, but for all you know, maybe that's just the taste of chewing tobacco. It's not good. It feels like someone's gone to a lot of effort to make something that tastes bad taste good, in which case why bother chewing tobacco in the first place?
How long have you been doing this then?
Oh, well, you know, thing is, I actually started it when I was a kid, you know, when we got S. Oh yeah. I mean, it wasn't a skyship, no, but you know, we were stuck out at sea, properly out at sea, you know, like it's called becalmed. It's like when there's no wind, you know, and then the food ran out, and you know, they started giving out the tobacco because it stops the hunger, makes it go away for a bit, you know.
Oh dear.
Oh yeah. Well, it's a different time now, you know.
Well, hopefully, none of us will go hungry enough on this ship to need all of your tobacco.
Oh no.
She spits it overboard. Did I do it right?
Well, you kind of want to throw your chin out a bit when you do. You get more distance.
Oh,
I'll show you if you like.
Oh, go on then.
He cutches in quite close, puts his arm around your shoulder, and then tries to show you how to spit better.
How tall is he?
Not. I say shoulder. It kind of starts out at like mid torso, and then his hand has to keep going up till his arm's basically elbow locked. But he manages to get his hand to shoulder.
Okay, Azin has been trying to be polite, but now she's like, oh dear, oh dear, oh dear, oh dear. Okay, so she turns and looks down at him, not in a condescending way, just physically. And she says, so, I'm a paladin of Aphrodite.
He raises his eyebrows. All right.
But I think, and she removes his arm from her shoulder.
Okay.
That we would be best as friends for now.
Give me a sense motive.
I've broken an old man's heart.
If you check the replay, you can see the exact moment his heart breaks.
Just thinking basically all adult human males are... Well, all adult humans are old to Azu, right?
Oh, that's
like,
true.
The age gap of like a 25-year-old and Azu is still kind of inappropriate. So like the idea of like a 50-year-old...
It's odd.
Still
it's
also...
Odd.
Like,
I mean, so like... In her right, she is like early 20s-ish, but I want to make it clear that she is not in any way frightened or intimidated because she could snap this guy.
I swore.
Sorry.
But you're right. She can snap this guy.
Yeah.
Anyway, that was a 22 on the sense motive.
You see him make a really solid attempt at, oh no, that was never, no, oh no, I'm sorry, you think that, no, God, no, oh, no, I'll just, oh, that's, I'm very, I'm sorry, I'll just, he starts, Friedrich comes over, hands him the darts and go, come on, you big loser, give it a go, and he's like, no, I think I've got to, just, I've got to go. Well, you can't go. You know, it's your turn. No, I
we can still play darts. That's
no.
We can...
Oh no, of course you play darts. I'm just going. He goes below decks.
Okay, as he looks at Friedrich, and she's like, that might be awkward for a little while.
Oh, I wouldn't especially worry. He's awkward in most situations. You won't notice the difference.
Well. I think I might.
So,
I hope I didn't hurt his feelings.
I mean, you. I mean, no. I don't think so. No.
I'm going to roll a sense motive on him to see if he's lying to me.
No.
Surprise.
Yes. That's a 28.
Let me tweak my delivery slightly. No. Yes. Yes, probably. But, I mean, when you reach a certain age in life, rejection sort of becomes normal, so he'll probably be okay eventually.
Oh, I hope not.
Yeah.
Luminac.
Yeah, dang.
I mean, I'm still quite young, but, you know,
Oh, not you. No, not you. No, I just mean that, you know... If Sigif had a coin for every time Sigif has been rejected, he would not be owing me money.
Oh.
I mean, honestly.
Is this a charisma minus two character?
Yeah.
Friedrich starts leaning in a little bit more. I mean, let's be honest. I mean, come on, you know, like... Oof.
Oh, God.
He's not so much a fixer-upper as a, you know, burn it down, start again. I mean, he's lovely, you know, but sometimes you have to recognize that there's woodworm in the foundation, and you just have to leave it to fall down, and that's okay.
Sure,
you know?
And you can tell him, I'm sure he will make someone very happy.
Oh yes. I mean, there's someone for everyone, you know.
Yes.
There was this older woman who was back home at Svalbard. She was. She was lonely for a long, long time, but then. Then, you know, another fellow, he lost his wife, and they ended up being together for about 8 months before one of them died, yeah.
Incredible.
Well, at least they had a happy end of life, I suppose.
Oh, no, no, it was terrible.
Oh, God,
I tell you what, the way they died. I'm gonna end this conversation here. Friedrich
as his face falls more and more as the story goes on.
Friedrich does not know how to stop talking and exclusively steers conversations in the worst direction imaginable.
Okay.
You now know this about him.
Thank you. That's very helpful. Is anyone going to come and rescue us?
Sel will come and rescue you.
Thank you.
And the thing is, you know, a lot of people were like, oh,
Azu,
you know, maybe
it's
not fatal.
Oh, is it? Oh, very, very sorry. Okay,
it absolutely is. Possibly forever. However long you need to throw darts for. You take some time doing that.
Oh, no, of course. Sel, you'd probably find this story interesting as well.
I don't think I would. I've got lots of things to do.
Why don't you come and watch me throw some darts?
Really, Azu's technique is an incredible work of art to view, and I think I'm going to focus my entire energies on that. Thank you very much for everything.
Yes, thank you. Thank you as well. Thank you.
No, you're absolutely fine. Sel, with hands actually on Azu's shoulders, because right height. Like,
yeah.
You know, gently there, like, steering away, like, you okay? I heard a lot about death, and I just don't know why they would inflict that on a person. And the chewing tobacco, rather. The chewing is worse than the death. I don't know. Or maybe it is. I'm not...
Have you ever tried chewing tobacco?
I have tried most things. I have a lot better recommendations than chewing tobacco.
I love legally defensible statements.
Well, I didn't like that, but you know the older gentleman was, I think, making eyes at me.
Aw, he was okay about that. You're okay. It's. I mean, I don't know. Is he your type? I lose track slightly of okay.
No, but like no. He's fine. He's
yeah,
lovely.
I mean, but chewing
now I've hurt his feelings, yeah. and then Frederick started talking about death.
I'm going to say both of you are leaning over the side of the ship at this point, looking out, if that's okay.
You know, there's something I believe, you know, I am open and interested in pretty much, you know, that like there I've had relationships across genders and species, but the one thing that I... is chewing tobacco. You know, like that's the one, that's the line. There's a definite... line around that you then step back from and then throw an explosive across the line.
please don't explode, Sigif.
Oh, okay. Since you asked nicely.
As your conversation sort of wraps up, Kiko comes over to the side of the ship with you.
Oh. Hello.
Well, that was horrendously awkward, just on every level.
Well,
how are we doing?
I mean, I've had more awkward conversations. Not many, but some more awkward.
Yeah, that'll happen. Kiko turns and starts to head below decks. Well, come find me if you ever want a conversation that isn't awkward.
Sel leans over and looks directly into Azu's eyes and raises their eyebrows up and up. And like, Sel have a lot of time to practice this look. So the exquisite... like step by step. Yes, Bryn's doing it. They bring their goggles down from their forehead, put them on their nose, push them down slightly, and yes, look over the top, and the eyebrows crawl
so
upwards
much.
In ladders, like ooh, ooh, left, then right, then left, right.
Azu looks back, absolutely dumbfounded. Like, is it the incense? I don't. That's twice in half an hour.
I think maybe you should ask her. The goggles are at the end of the nose.
And I think I'm going to end the episode there.
Azu is a hot commodity.
Oh, yes!
Look, it turns out there is a mutiny, and the mutiny is in everyone's pants.
Is there a mutiny in my pants because the captain's been thrown overboard? Hang on a minute, this metaphor.
Well, we'll see where this horrendous set of decisions that I've made progresses next week.
No, but, this is the best set of decisions you've ever made. I love this.
Valid decisions.
Well, until then, bye everyone.
Bye. Bye.
Rusty Quill Gaming is a podcast distributed by Rusty Quill and licensed under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial Sharealike 4.0 international license. Today's episode was directed by Alexander J. Newell and produced by April Sumner. To subscribe, buy merchandise, or join our Patreon, visit rustyquill.com. Rate and review us online, tweet us at @TheRustyQuill, visit us on Facebook, or email us via mail@rustyquill.com. Join our community on the Discord via the website or on Reddit at r/RustyQuill. Thanks for listening.
Hello, Oscar.
Problems? I was going to call you Bryn. Why am I calling you Bryn? Where am I? Who are you? Oh, God, there's microphones everywhere. let's try that again.
Hi, everyone. Alex here. I'd just like to take a moment to thank some of our patrons. Emmy Knobloch, Ludmilla Schmidt, Matt1344, CJ Saunders, Maishi, Katie Stonestreet, Zoe Payne, Rebecca Field, Targa, Tamsin Myers, Conrad Schaefer Vignati, Jelka Dirksen, Sleepy Pigeon, Leona Maron, Mo, Official Spec, Maria X. Zhao, Eb Mitchell, Isabel Taylor, Cecil Fay, Heather Cartwright, Zoe Prescott, Grace Holston, Jessica Wilmore, Beth Carter, Sarah, Null Strolight, Crystal Wang, Noah S. Brown, Laura A., Dave, Trinket, It Is a Mystery, Ashley S., Anna Laurie, Corina Bantam, Flip Wizard McGay, Alexi Bailey, Mickey S., Emma Scrivens, Ebeth, Jordan Whiteley, Jane, V., Catherine Carlsrud, Wizard Perry, Abigail Boken, Leanne Payson, Max, Ingeborg Peterson. Thank you all. We really appreciate your support. If you'd like to join them, go to www.patreon.com/rustyquill and take a look at our rewards.